Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society, where we strive to be, and I think we generally succeed, to be open-minded and open-hearted. We welcome you no matter your ethnicity, your religious background, your sexual orientation, your gender identification. You are welcome here. Whatever your family structure is, wherever you are on this journey of life, whatever your abilities or disabilities. If this is one of your first times here, there will be a time later on in our service when you will be invited to introduce yourselves. You do not have to do that if you don't want to do that. We always encourage people who have only been here once or so, or visitors if they can, to come back, because our services are different every Sunday morning. I am Sandy Ingham, Prairie's part-time minister. Sometimes I do the service. Sometimes people from within the congregation do the service, and often we have speakers from outside our particular congregation, which is the case this morning, and I'll say a little bit more about today's speaker in just a moment. I'm going to turn this over to today's speaker to do the opening words. And today's speaker is Abigail. Do you prefer Abigail? Or?
Sure, I'm being a minister.
Oh, it's like Sandra and Sandy. Got it. Abigail Swetz is, and I'm reading her words, a proud public school teacher. For the past few years, she was one of the rotating speakers at the Freethinker Society in Sauk County on the weekends, while also teaching 8th grade English and social studies during the week. She advises the Gender and Sexuality Alliance at the school where she teaches, and is a fierce advocate for human rights in the classroom and beyond, and I can attest to that. And Abigail spoke to a crowd of 100,000 people at the Women's March here in Madison this past January. I'm sorry I didn't get to hear that because I was at the march, but it was a stand. I couldn't move, and you had already spoken by the time we got there.
Yes, it's a shuffle.
Yes. So if you would do the opening words, that would be great.
Our opening words today are from the song Heavens Here on Earth by Tracy Chapman, so I'm going to sing them. If we have faith in humankind and respect for what is earthly, and an unfaltering belief in peace and love and understanding, this could be heaven here on earth. Heaven's in our heart. Our chalice lighting today, the reading is also from Heavens Here on Earth by Tracy Chapman. The words are quite simple. Do we read it together or do I read it alone?
You can read it alone.
Okay. The world is our temple. The world is our church. Heaven is here on earth. In my 8th grade classroom on the east side of Madison, we learn grammar. One would think learning grammar as an 8th grader would be commonplace, but I assure you it is not. My English teacher friends perpetually bemoan the state of grammar education, or rather, the lack of it. Why doesn't anyone teach grammar, we ask? And then we often proceed to not teach it. Grammar is difficult to teach. It's just boring, deadly boring, and there is very little that can be done to spice it up. I do teach grammar, but I'm sure the 9th grade English teachers at Madison East still bemoan my students' lack of knowledge because I really only teach it in one context. I teach grammar for social justice. This started because I have a fair number of students who do not fit on the cisgender side of the gender spectrum. Being cisgender means your gender identity, your core feeling of where you fit in terms of male and female, matches the sex the doctor declares you at birth. I am cisgender because my doctor saw my parts and told my mom she had a little girl, and I know in my core that I am a woman. But I have students who are transgender, meaning they know in their core they identify with the opposite gender from the sex they were born. I also have students who identify as genderqueer or non-binary, which means that no matter which sex they were born, they identify somewhere on the range between man and woman. Their gender identity is neither exclusively male nor exclusively female. They are the epitome of a square peg in a round hole, except that they are anything but square. What does this have to do with grammar? Gender identity has to do with grammar because it has to do with pronouns. And it has to do with social justice because LGBTQ plus rights still have a ways to go in this world. And I believe it is essential to the learning of my students that they feel not only safe in my classroom, but also affirmed. And using the correct pronouns is important to me and to them. I had a student socially transition over winter break 2 years ago. This means that the student who had been going by male pronouns began to present more female in accordance with her gender identity as a transgender girl, and thus she wanted us to use female pronouns when we addressed her. I decided to do an inclusion activity the first day back in January that would include students sharing their preferred gender pronouns, meaning students would share with everyone which pronouns they wanted people to use for them. However, I realized many of my students did not actually know what the word pronoun meant. And thus the activity would fail at truly being inclusive. So I taught my first grammar for social justice lesson. I explained what a pronoun was, a word that stands in for a noun or proper noun in a sentence so that the speaker or writer does not have to repeat that name over and over and over, and then went over the different pronoun options that work to stand in for people. I taught he and she and emphasized that we needed to respect whichever request people made in terms of which we used for them. I taught that they can stand in for a group of people, but that they can also stand in for a single person who asks you to use it because they feel neither exclusively male nor exclusively female, but more in the middle, genderqueer, non-binary. It was a good lesson. The kids paid attention for the first time in any of my previous attempts to teach grammar. They paid attention because, contrary to what the news media will tell you, teenagers these days are really good at heart, and they wanted to do their best to respect each other. They knew they had classmates who wanted to go by pronouns that were different than those they had used in past years, and they knew it felt good when other classmates respected that, so they did their best to do it. This was also the year of Freddie Gray's death, and our pronoun lesson took on another social justice turn when the Baltimore protests, or the Baltimore riots, depending on what you read, exploded onto the national scene. We read an amazing article by Eric Liu called How We Burned Baltimore. And in it, he used a pronoun that was new to me in name, but not in concept. He used the singular we. We as in we the people, we the collective, we who built this country, and we who seemed intent on ripping it apart from within. I love language. Language makes it possible for us to define ourselves. Language makes it possible for others to understand us because language can tell our stories. Language can even create a country or set it to flames. And language can guide a life. If I taught grammar for social justice in my eighth grade classroom, then I am going to preach grammar for spirituality today. I'm going to talk about grammar for humanism. A noun is a person, place, thing, or idea. Humanism is an idea noun. According to the dictionary, it is a variety of ethical theories and practices that emphasize reason, scientific inquiry, and human fulfillment in the natural world, and often rejects the importance of God, which seems a bit overly simplistic to me. Human being is also a noun, but a person noun, and it is, interestingly enough, a noun created by the combination of an adjective, human, and a verb, being, a form of to be. Human, the adjective, means sympathetic and humane. I like that. We often repeat Alexander Pope's famous axiom, to err is human, to forgive divine. But the sympathetic and humane definition of human being seems to take issue with that statement. Being a human means being a kind being. There is something beautifully straightforward and real about that. The verb to be seems so simple but means so much. To be means to exist and to live. It means to occupy place. It means to belong, which strikes me as a uniquely human desire as well. But most significance to me in the context of grammar for spirituality and humanism is how to be is used in different verb tenses. It is used with the principal verb to indicate future action in the simple future tense, meaning it is used to show a human's plans for what to do next. And perhaps most significant to me is the way being is used to form the progressive tense. The progressive tense is not one we commonly talk about. Frankly, no aspect of grammar is often a topic of conversation. But at least we are usually aware when we are using verb tenses like past, present, and future. But progressive seems like one Wisconsinites should know. The progressive form of a verb is the form, is a form of the present. It is a continuing action, something that is ongoing right now. For example, I am speaking in front of you today. I am giving this reflection. I am being this verb, this continuous action of delivering my thoughts. It would seem wrong to say, I speak in front of you today. I give this reflection. I deliver my thoughts. Those statements seem too sudden and finite and over and done with. I am still giving this reflection. It is ongoing. And that is how grammar can be about spirituality and about humanism. Being a human being means to be sympathetic and humane and continuously in action. So does being a humanist. As a humanist, I do not practice my spirituality in the simple present tense, implying an action I might choose to do for once, for now, and a belief I might hold for just this moment. As a humanist, I practice my spirituality in the progressive tense, because my spirituality is a continuous, ongoing action. I am practicing. I am choosing. I am believing, and I am questioning, and I am searching, and I am acting on those choices and beliefs and questions and searches. I am a human being, and as such, I am a verb. To bring this full circle, I have another story about grammar for social justice, although this story takes place at a meeting of my Gender and Sexuality Alliance. And while still about pronouns, specifically the singular they, it is more about grammar for self-affirmation than social justice, and as such, it has more in common with grammar for spirituality and humanism. This past week, and for the 3 years before it, my school participated in the Day of Silence. This is a story about our experience 2 years ago. The Day of Silence is a day dedicated to honoring those people who have been silenced due to their sexuality or gender identity in our history and in our present, in the hopes that raising awareness will eliminate silencing in the future. This silencing takes many forms, some from the outside in, like bullying or assault, hate crimes or homicide. Or the silencing may be self-inflicted, like suicide, or when people never feel comfortable publicly being who they are and thus spend their lives in hiding. The Gender and Sexuality Alliance took the stand that all silencing is violent and worked tirelessly to make my middle school's participation in the Day of Silence significant and meaningful. To introduce the idea of the Day of Silence and explain how it would work, the students created a video along the lines of a public service announcement. In the video, students spoke directly to the camera to explain the importance of the day. They explained there were three options for the day. One was to voluntarily take a vow of silence to show solidarity with those who had been involuntarily silenced for being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning. Another was to wear a rainbow ribbon and show support for the cause but not be silent. Being silent is a tall order, and the GSA thought having this option would make participation in the Day of Silence more widespread. The third option was to not wear any ribbon, but respect those who did, just like those who wore ribbons were required to respect those who chose not to. The video began with a montage of silent still photographs. My students, myself, my principal, all wrote ways we had been silenced in our past on large pieces of paper and held them to our chests. The first paper read, "I have been silenced because," and the following papers had statements like, "I am gay," "I am biracial and bisexual," "I am an ally and people make assumptions," and "I am genderqueer," as well as others. The day after showing this video to every homeroom in my school, the Gender and Sexuality Alliance met to make final plans for the day. It was the largest meeting we have ever had. The attendees barely fit in my classroom. There were not enough chairs. Apparently, we had gotten through. We start every meeting with an icebreaker: questions, names, and sharing our preferred gender pronouns. As we had so many new members, I then opened it up to questions about the video, the Day of Silence, and GSA in general. A hand shot up. The student asked for me to explain the term genderqueer because it had been used in the silent part of the video. I posed the question back to my experienced GSA members, and a young person who identifies as genderqueer explained that the term is used by people who do not feel exclusively male or female but fall in the spectrum of gender. As the student gave the answer, the questioner's face opened up, full of light as a smile broke out across the student's face. I smiled too, and I asked, "Did you just hear a word that describes you that you hadn't realized that there were others out there too, people who identify the same way you do?" They nodded, still smiling. I have avoided using pronouns in this story till now. At the meeting, they asked if that was why some people have started using they as a singular pronoun. We, the collective GSA, told them yes. It was a beautiful moment. The student is in my class 2 years later. They introduced themselves with the singular they pronoun on the first day of school. This is why we do this work. This is why grammar is important. This is why the language we use is important. It can drive us to social justice. It can affirm our definition of identity, our sense of self. It can inform our spirituality. It can create the ongoing action of what it means to be a humanist. It can even form a collective, a group to use the singular we, like we the GSA did with our video, that meeting, and the Day of Silence, during which we handed out more silence and support ribbons than the number of students who attend our school. According to the dictionary, there are two other definitions of being I have not yet spoken of, and I think they are the perfect way to close my reflection and transition us to our congregational dialogue. One definition is that the word being, when spelled with a capital letter, is defined as God. This is one of the reasons I spelled the phrase human being with both first letters capitalized for the title of this reflection. As a young person growing up in the Unitarian Universalist Church, I often had people ask me to explain their religion to them, my religion to them. I always tried to get them to understand that by its very nature, being you was a very individualized belief system. And I always told people, this inevitably led to questions about my own individualized belief system. And I always told people I was a humanist who believed we all had a little bit of something holy within us, and that that was how we were all somehow interconnected. I was very glad when Star Wars was re-released, because I was just able to tell people I believed in the Force. But I do believe there is something holy in all of us, and maybe that is why the second word in the phrase human being is a synonym for God. Maybe it is also a time I would use the singular we, as in we are all a part of God, or God is all a part of the singular us. The last definition of being is that it is considered a non-standard conjunction, sometimes taking the place of words like since or because. Conjunctions bring parts of sentences together in likeness or contrast, like belief can bring people together or force them apart. Being, the conjunction created from the verb to be brings parts together, like our spirituality has brought us together today. For example, being as someone liked this reflection the first time they heard it, I am giving it again today. Or being as now I have spent 18 minutes talking about grammar, maybe it's time to take some questions. Or being as I have introduced the concept of a singular we during this reflection, I think it is time for we to participate in the ongoing action of discussing these concepts and what humanism means to the collective us. Gender and Sexuality Alliance. They usually stand for Gay-Straight Alliance, but speaking of the importance of language, I had a student look around the club and say, "Nobody here is gay or straight, Miss Wetz," because those are like very specific identities that are we're not represented by our GSA. So we thought Gender and Sexuality Alliance encourages the spectrum of gender and the spectrum of sexuality, and thus everyone was included. So that's why we created that different term. But I've seen the new inclusive Gender and Sexuality Alliance used a lot more often around schools in Madison, so that's pretty cool. 20 years ago, it also wasn't on the map in Kansas City, where I went to school. But Gay and Lesbian was because they tried to get books banned from the library that had gay characters. But we staged a protest at the high school and checked out every book on the shelf because we said, if that book's not going to be on the shelf, no book's going to be on the shelf. And it worked. So my high school in little Bible Belt, Kansas, totally stopped that. It's somehow connected in my head. Anyway. That's all. It's interesting because sex is also on a spectrum because those people are also on the spectrum, and I decided not to go into that in here because that was just a lot. But so the term for that is now intersex for those beings, and there's also been a lot of work recently done by more progressive doctors to say you need to raise your child in a more gender-neutral environment so that the child can come about and figure out their own gender as they go, just because there have been so many cases of children being raised one gender and then feeling like nope as soon as they could truly express themselves. So thank you for bringing that up. That's another spectrum. The romance languages, this is in some ways easier because I speak fluent French, on also exists. But in other ways it's harder because every object has a gender pronoun. So it's like a combination of how do we navigate that. And my mother is a French teacher, and she, now as like having a lesbian daughter who works a lot with gender spectrum stuff, she's been trying to figure out, like, from her French friends, like, so how do we do pronouns for the fact that, like, that cup has a gender, you know? But you're right, on is very helpful because that has existed in romance languages forever. If anybody wants more hope, we've got stories. Like, so this is Tracy. I work with her. She's another 8th grade radical acceptance welcoming schools type of teacher. And this is Angela, my fiance, who's a social worker at another public middle school who also leads her GSA. So we've got stories. So, I mean, every single sermon I give ends up being in some way about my classroom, because if every single sermon I give, I want to give hope, and that's where I find hope, is with these young people. So agreed entirely. And you should know that at the very least MMSD and also many, many surrounding districts are going through tons of trainings right now, because we do have people in our district who are trained, like we are, to be welcoming schools trainers, and like I'm actually going to a school on Wednesday to do that. So yeah, anyway, thank you. So what I can say, yes, I still have connections with Kansas. My mother just retired last year as a teacher in a suburban district outside Kansas City. And I can tell you that while not as forward-moving as Madison, which I'm sure is not a shock, she, in her last couple of years of teaching, she and her principal reached out specifically to me because they had a student who was transgender who wanted to transition and they didn't know how to navigate that. And I was very lucky to be able to like guide them towards people more knowledgeable than I. But what I think is so important about that story is that people know they need to reach out, right? So it is not perfect. And yes, Trevor Hotline, which is an LGBTQ+ resource hotline for suicidal youth, is far too busy right? From across the country and the world. But I would say that there are steps being made in a lot of places, specifically under the Obama administration, so let's be real. But just the mere fact that any government agency, like the DOJ, came out with these memos talking about gender identity, even if they've been sort of like taken back in recent weeks, the fact that they ever existed is huge. I also know there are so many national organizations working on this, like GLSEN, like Southern Poverty Law Center through Teaching Tolerance, that the more we talk about it, even in progressive spaces, the more it gets talked about elsewhere as well. So I think there's a lot of great work happening. How is it elsewhere? So what I can say about like a statewide organization is, if you've never heard of GSAFE, you need to, and you need to support them and give them money. They're essentially like GLSEN, but better and more local. So GSAFE is an organization here in Madison, but specifically for the state, the entire state of Wisconsin, and most of their really great work, I would say recently, has been happening outside of Madison. They are designed to support GSAs around the state, make sure students know their rights, make sure to try and create more progressive policies through like different school boards to accept transgender and gender nonconforming students. And they have done amazing work and still are doing amazing work. I do not remember the number, but every year at the Celebration of Leadership, which is like their big nonprofit fundraiser, they get up and announce how many GSAs are in Wisconsin. And it is in the high hundreds, which is amazing, right? And I used to teach in McFarland, which, although within stone's throw of Madison, is a small town. They have a GSA at the high school, and when I taught there 8 years ago, 7 years ago, I helped found the GSA at their middle school. And they have unbelievably supportive administration. So there is still a lot of work to be done, but I can tell you that there are organizations very much working on it and slowly but surely, truly bringing about a lot of change in Wisconsin. So if anybody wants more information about that, look up GSAFE. It's gsafewi.org online. They're amazing. And also working, of course, on like not enough money, not enough time, not enough staff. Could use some volunteers. They're amazing. So check them out. It's a great question. So, of course, like any kid who's ever come out will tell you, never tell me this is a phase. But the thing, I think the thing to keep in mind that is important is that idea, again, that gender and sexuality is on a spectrum, and that that spectrum means that it is possible to move within your life, right? So I think it's important to always affirm what a young person is telling you about their identity right now, but also to understand that that is their identity right now, and that that could change, and that that also needs to be okay, but to treat it as their reality right now, right? When I came out the first time, I came out as bisexual, and then realized as that process continued that realized two things. Number one is that I probably wasn't, that I was further on the lesbian side of the spectrum. But also that that process of coming out is a continual process. Anyone on the LGBTQ plus community will tell you that you have to come out like all the time. But that also gives you the opportunity to come out as who you are in that reality of that moment, right? So I think it's a very delicate thing because from the outside looking in, it does look like a potential phase. But from the inside, it feels like now is right now my reality. And we all know, having been young people and being around young people, that like my reality right now is very, very important, right? And that is my world. And there is nothing wrong with that, and that's totally developmentally appropriate. And I joke all the time that the reason I love teaching middle school is they're different people every day they walk through the door. It is never a dull moment because you don't always know who it's going to be today versus tomorrow. But that also keeps it fun and exciting and a little scary for them, right? And so that's why I think it's so important. I know this is a little rambling, but that's why I think it's so important to affirm a young person's identity at this moment, because it's scary. And because if tomorrow I feel different, if you didn't affirm me yesterday and tomorrow I feel different, I'm not going to tell you. And that's scary too. And then what if tomorrow I feel different again, or 5 years from now? If you didn't like react in an accepting way the first time around, I might never tell you again. And that is a sad thing about an identity, right? And the other thing to keep in mind, wow, this is long, I'm sorry, is that it's not only young people who discover new things about themselves, right? And I think it's important to know. I know a person who came out as trans when they were 76 years old, right? And that had a lot to do with the acceptance factor. It also had a lot to do with, because of not feeling accepted, never truly owning that. And that shift, it can happen at any time in a life, right? I hope that made sense. Yes, Pride Prom. Also, Teens Like Us, another organization that supports queer youth in the city who needs donations and support. Proud Theater, another, yes. Wow, we could just keep giving money to people. But what I do want to say is thank you for mentioning agender. I decided in the context of 18 minutes to not address all of that, but there's a reason it's LGBTQ+. The actual acronym is like as long as the alphabet, if you want it to be. And I think that's important to keep in mind. And agender is the idea that like you step outside the spectrum completely and just gender is not a thing for you. Which, gosh, I would love if it was for everyone, because then we wouldn't get stuck in this whole gender role thing, right? But that's a whole other thing. And I would also add that the O'Keefe GSA has every year still met with at least one angry phone call with Day of Silence. There's never been a year that didn't happen. Now, I'm really lucky to be at a school where A, we can still pull it off, and B, my principal will have that tough conversation, right? And is willing to take that on. And that is not the reality everywhere or most places, right? So that's thank you. That's a great point. Because when we talk about language is important and this idea of like the we collective, Madison is not a we collective. No. But it would be helpful to continue the work so that we can be more like that.
I don't know how that's possible. Thank you.
Our closing words today are from the poem Angels of the Get Through by Andrea Gibson, who is a spoken word poet who uses the singular they pronoun. This year has been the hardest of your whole life. So hard you cannot see the future most days. The pain is bigger than anything else, takes up the whole horizon no matter where you are. You feel unsafe. Feel unsaved. Your past so present you can feel your baby teeth. Sitting on the couch, you swear your feet don't reach the floor. You keep remembering the first time you saw a bird's nest held together by an old shoelace and scraps of a plastic bag. You knew the home of a person could be built like that. A lot of things you'd rather throw away. You keep up worrying. You are taking up too much space. I wish you'd let yourself be the Milky Way. Remember when I told you I was gonna become a full-time poet and you paid my rent for 3 years? Best friend, angel of the get through, all living is storm chasing. Every good heart has lost its roof. Let all the walls collapse at your feet. Scream timber when they ask you how you are. Fine is the suckiest word. It is the opposite of here. Here is the only place left on the map. Here is where you learn laughter can go extinct and come back. I am already building the museum for every treasure you unearth in the rock bottom, holy vulnerable cliff, God Mason, heart heavier than all the bricks. Say this is what the pain made of you, an open, open, open road, an avalanche of feel it all. Don't let anyone tell you you are too much or it has been too long. Whatever keeps the stutterer from stuttering when he sings a song, you are made of that thing, that unbreakable note, that photograph of you at 5 years old, the year you ran away from school because you wanted to go home. You are almost there. You are the compass you have always been. You are the same friend who has never left my side during my worst year. You caught every tantrum I threw with your bare hands, chucked it back at the blood moon, said it is okay. Everyone's survival looks a little bit like death. I wrote a poem called Say Yes when I was cursing you for not letting me go. Best friend, this is what we do. We gather each other up. We say the cup is half yours and half mine. We say alone is the last place you will ever be. We say Tonight, let's stay inside reading Pema Chodron while everyone else is out on the town. Pema will say, only to the extent we expose ourselves over and over to annihilation can that which is indestructible in us be found. You'll say, Pema is so wise. And I'll say, yes, she is. And we are too. Angels of the get-through, we are too.
Thank you. Go in peace. Greet your neighbor. Eat soup.